morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Scratch That Morning Show. Man, we got a really, really special guest lined up this week. Somebody who comes from my hood, so I'm excited to open that up at some point here. And somebody who has made a big splash since coming to Charlotte. Let's give it up for the one, the only, my favorite snack, Triscuits, ladies and gentlemen.
Welcome, so,
welcome to the show, brother.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, Triscuits.
So since Kyle's inspired by old morning radio shows, we typically ask our guests, did you have a channel as a kid that you tuned into? Like for me, it was 89.7 WMHK. Kyle, what was yours?
DC 101.
Okay, yeah, DC. I was 98.7 WMCQ, country station in the DC area.
All right, yeah. All right. You ever listen to like 99.5 at all?
Yeah, Hot
99.5. Hot 99.5, baby. So we are
Mix 107.3.
There it is.
104.
There it is.
Yeah. I was a big radio guy.
Yeah, man. Well, back before we had Sirius and all the streaming and stuff like that. When
I feel like that's why all the songs now that hit hardest are from like the radio era.
Yeah.
And it's because we were all spoon fed the same music and
same 20 songs like now with 20 commercials in between.
Now with streaming, everyone listens to what they want and you don't have uniform.
So speaking of car radio songs, we asked Boss his go-to karaoke song. We'll change it for you a little bit.
Gosh.
What's your song in the car right now? I feel like I might be able to take a stab, but your song in the car right now that you sing absolutely shamelessly.
I've been listening to a lot of podcasts in the car, but songs that I like to belt
Hopefully
out.
Scratch that.
I would say anything Luke Combs, he naturally just belts everything out. So Kind of Love We Make. I think that's a banger. Super cheesy, sappy song, but it always crushes. And
you're singing along, obviously, bars. Right? You're singing to it. You're not just listening.
Yeah.
To it. You're giving it everything you got.
I'm singing it, and I'm hoping nobody can hear because I cannot sing for shit.
Well, as long as you don't have a convertible, I think you'll be all right. So,
yeah.
But yeah, man. Yeah. So representing for the 240, the 703, the 202, maybe a dash of the 301 today, man. I am. I'm excited to have you here, dude. So, I know Will had one really important question that he wanted to ask, and so I'm gonna save that for a minute. But like, let's get into the transition. So first off, I see 703. Is that right?
Yeah.
Nova?
Yeah. Northern Virginia.
Yeah, what part?
That's right. I grew up in Falls Church.
Okay. All right. I know exactly where that is. My now wife, when we met, she was in Alexandria, so we would drive out to Falls Church to do, you know, the shopping and stuff. It was easier to do that than roll into the district. Oh. So we moved in after we got married. Okay. So When did you start the DJ career? It was up there, obviously, but
yeah, it was.
What does that look like?
I want to say 2017.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you still haven't been around too terribly long. I mean, what, you're going on five, six, 7 years?
6-7 years. Yeah. Yeah. I was always into music my whole life, but like never had any concept of DJing until I went to Las Vegas with my brothers.
Oh.
It was my 25th birthday, and my oldest brother had just bought a controller of his own.
Right.
And we were going to these like mega clubs, pool parties, and he was telling me about how they're mixing and stuff, and it kind of flipped a switch for me, because up till then, I'd only been to like shitty bars where the DJs are like set up on a little table in the corner. So seeing DJs like
Bar Louie,
spot like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, I'm telling you, even I didn't really watch DJs. I didn't go see a DJ live until I started DJing, but I do remember my first Vegas experience and how inspiring it was to put the pedal to the metal. And I might have only been DJing a year or so. And I saw Little John at Oh, the win, I think, at Night Swim, and it was for New Year's, actually. And I was like,
oh, shit.
This is all I want to do, because a lot of the stuff he produces, and he puts on such a dynamic set, and his energy is relentless. I was like, I want to be like that when I grow up. I mean, Little John, I mean, idols for some, but for me, that was it. Okay, so you go to Vegas, you come back home.
Mm-hmm.
What was it for you? Yeah. What was the next move?
So at Christmas, my brother was like, hey, let's go to Guitar Center, because there was one right down the street.
Yeah, I know exactly which one you're talking about.
Yeah, in the Seven Corners area.
Yep.
But I started messing around with like a little SB2 controller, just a little intro thing. And I got really lucky with people I met early on. My next door neighbor in Baltimore actually was a DJ himself, and I saw him one day like mixing out on his rooftop deck, and I was like, oh shit, like, hey, I'm trying to get into that as well,
right?
And he plugged me with a guy who books a bunch of bars in the Baltimore area. Shout out Andrew Lux and DJ Slinger.
But I know who that is, actually,
me gigs
in a weird way. But yeah, dude, so that's awesome. So okay, so you go from Falls Church, you go to Baltimore. And what year is that? When are you plugging away?
Sorry.
Yeah, no. All right. So you moved to Baltimore. Year is that? When do you actually start hitting the ones and twos in public?
So probably 2017.
Okay.
It was literally like within 3 months of me buying a controller and opening Serato for the first time.
I was
getting gigs, which I probably didn't deserve. And I was queer. I mean, anyone in their first gigs is terrible.
Yes.
But luckily, the gigs.
Funny enough, on that, Kyle, actually, the event company that we used to work for, Kyle was like our trainer developer. So before my first gig, Kyle gave me a lesson. That's mm-hmm. how I learned. So
yeah, he went into the deep end quick. I don't know what you were thinking, Willie. All right. Okay. So you hit the Baltimore circuit. You ever dip into DC with any of those gigs?
Yeah. So after about a year, I started venturing into DC, Arlington area.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where I grew up, and I was familiar with a lot of spots there.
Like A-Town?
But I used to go to A-Town. I think it had changed. They sold it by the time I started DJing.
Yeah,
but
there's a lot of good spots there, man. From Ballston all the way to Crystal City. There, don't let Nova sleep on you. Nova's got some spots, just like Bethesda. Don't let the district think that they have all the spots. I mean, Arlington's definitely. It's like Southend. It is just like Southend, except probably more dense and a lot more places to go. So, but that's awesome, man. So, what got you to Charlotte?
We were just looking for a change. My wife and I mean, she's from Maryland. I've been living in Baltimore for like 6-7 years. We were getting a little tired of the crime that we were, I mean, that's just part of living in Baltimore.
Yep. Were you on like the Wells side, the Federal Hill side? Like
we were in Federal Hill.
Okay.
And yeah, which I love Baltimore, awesome city.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of character.
But it's got its pockets and some pockets that you don't want to leave after like 9 p.m. at night.
Yeah, you got to know where you're going. Yep. And
one wrong street, brother, is all it takes, is one wrong street in that hood.
One wrong turn.
Beautiful hood. Great neighborhood, man. But yeah, you swivel off that.
It's such a shame.
You pass a little Italy, you need to turn around really quickly.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Awesome, man.
And I so many friends had been mugged late night, like coming home from gigs, and we were like, we got to get out of here. And
yeah.
Charlotte, like two of my best friends had moved to Charlotte, and I had come down here probably like once or twice a year for several years. So I was pretty familiar with the city already. And every time I was down here, I had a great time. So we were looking for somewhere south and somewhere warmer, and my wife was okay with coming to Charlotte. So,
well, I love that, man. Same thing for us. So, but let's go ahead and scratch that. Will, I know you had one really, really important question. I know you had to pop back on here. I'm very curious too. So I'm going to let you take this one.
So the name Triscus, we're curious. I think I've seen you maybe post about it as if it was something funny, but were you on aisle 11 in Hungary? And how'd you come up with the name Triscuits?
So it started completely as a joke. I've never been a food guy. Like, I'm a terrible cook. So back in my single days, I would just get the bare bones for meals. I'd eat a lot of like eggs, Chipotle, granola bars. Just, I had a terrible diet. My friends would make fun of me and say, like, I eat like a bird. And every time they'd come over, the only thing they could find in my fridge or in the cabinets were Triscuits. And they would just rail on me for that. And when I started DJing, I didn't have a good name. So my friends would just, they just called me DJ Triscuits, and they would post it on social media and stuff, even though I wasn't formally calling myself that. And eventually I just stopped trying to fight the name and just.
It was spoken to fruition, brother. You got to take it. So
yeah,
the friends have decided.
Yeah, they were relentless with that.
I love that, man.
I mean, as stupid as it is, it does like stick in people's heads.
But it's different when you see that in big letters on an LED wall behind you at freaking Trio. Do you just ever turn around and laugh and be like, how in the hell did this happen to me?
Yeah. And like, I forget how ridiculous it is now, but yeah, I still get a good chuckle when I see that.
Have you ever called Kraft or whoever it is and be like, so I'm kind of a big deal. Like, you want to make a box for me? Oh, by the way, as I put my hand here, you see the DC map behind me. Ah, there it is. Anyways, you ever call them and be like, yo, we need an endorsement. We need mini packs with my logo on it so we can throw them out in the crowd. That would actually be kind of cool. Maybe like wait for EDC for that, but you know.
I'm worried. I'm like, either it's going to go great and they're going to love it, or they're going to be like, hey, cease and desist. And
I don't feel like Triscuits is a big purchase in the store. I feel like any like clout they can get right now, they should run with. But anyways.
Listen, Kyle also loves Aoki. He loves the cake throwing, so do not get him started. Yeah, he's all up in fits. Aoki can't throw him at EDC.
I could throw food at a gig, I'm throwing food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
at my wedding, I jumped on and DJed for a little bit, and someone brought a whole box of Triscuits, and they were just throwing them the entire time. It was ridiculous.
That's amazing. Did you get married up there? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah. No, did you get married up there or in Charlotte?
Yeah. We actually got married in Pennsylvania.
Oh,
randomly. Cool. It was kind of in the middle of COVID, and Pennsylvania had a lot. Much lighter restrictions compared to Baltimore and Maryland area. So we just ended up going up there. We found a venue we liked. And
nice.
Yeah.
Well, good for you. Congrats, man.
Mm-hmm.
Word.
So you come to Charlotte. How do you get, like, were you trying to DJ as much as possible? Did you just kind of happen to link up with like Angelo and Boss and those guys, or were you looking for it, or did they know you from DC? How'd that happen?
Yeah, I was definitely looking for it. I got really lucky again with meeting those guys right when I got down here. And before I moved, I'd been like DMing people, trying to get a feel for who's who and who's booking.
And how did that turn out for you, by the way? Because I did the same thing, and I have my own.
It worked out. I followed a bunch of people before I came. Got and then the ones who followed me back, I messaged.
Who was that?
Chase Morgan and love DJ Nice.
See, and I wish I would have known those two before I moved down. I unfortunately connected with a really big, the radio DJ down here from similar to like 99.5. But as I was moving down, he moved to Hawaii. And I met him. My wife and I would come down here periodically to visit my family, and did New Year's at the Westin one year. And he was DJing and connected with him. But yeah, so I had a long, slow start before I could really get in here. But Boss Austin, man. What a guy, man. He truly is different in this town. But yeah, all right. So let's move on to some of the venues. So,
so I would say with Trio, just talk through this with people. So Trio and Rose, two of the, you know, best spots in town you're at, the versatility, the different range, like, what goes into a Trio set? What goes into a Rose set? Help people understand, like, you know, country music can be harder to mix. Like, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's zero overlap between the two venues. I have completely separate crates for each. And so it takes a lot of work. It's a lot of prep kind of maintaining both libraries. And as far as mixing, yeah, country music's way different. There's a lot less intro and like re-drum opportunities. Yep. So you're playing a lot more radio cuts without, you know, the DJ intro.
So are you dropping in at like one, like Q.1, like at the top or?
Yeah. So I use Beat Jump a ton. I don't know if you guys use that in Serato, and that makes a huge difference for me. So I'll start a track on the one and then Beat Jump back as if it were an intro, and then it will come in perfect timing. Smart. On the one.
Yeah. No, I love that. I love that.
So while we're on country music real quick, what country music, you said Luke Combs, did you grow up? Well, you did because you said the radio show. What kind of country music did you grow up on?
Mostly the radio stuff, kind of more poppy. Like my first country song that I actually admitted liking was Tim McGraw, Something Like That. And then that kind of, once you open your mind to country music, it definitely grows on you. But I think everyone starts out like, country music sucks. I hate it. It's not cool. And then once you start listening to it, it grows. But yeah, Tim McGraw, Brad Paisley, Luke Bryan, Jason Aldean, Eric Church, all those sort of names.
Love
and
that.
Now for Morgan Wallen, Luke Combs. Yeah.
Do you play at Rose? Do you play any of the Tyler Childers, Zach Bryan stuff, or you kind of stick with like the Nashville stuff?
I do play a little bit of that. I'm not huge on those guys. Especially in like a party scene. I think it's more
No Country Girl Shake It For Me.
Oh yeah, I play that all the time.
All right, cool.
But the response you get from Tyler Childers and Zach Bryan is crazy. Like people lose their shit for it. And I never would have expected it just listening to it on my own. But once I found out, people are passionate about that guy.
Yeah.
I don't really get it, but it works. So yeah. I'm going to play it.
I'm not a big country guy, to be honest, man. Like I'm not, but I will say like Luke Bryan, the Chicken Fried song, like that's what really got me like listening. I was like, oh, not all country is like, I compared it to like the rural version of emo. You know what I mean? And I don't know. It was just something about where I was like, but you're right. It's shifted. It's definitely shifted from what my dad listened to when I was growing up to now.
Last question on country music. So you've been putting out pretty good stuff on SoundCloud that I like to listen to that honestly, I quite frankly play a lot, especially some of the Taylor Swift stuff with MC4D and like the Down Under stuff. Is that coming? I know they're playing at Trio, but like, are people going to start going to see that? Or is that still like boat music or is that live performance? Like maybe EDC type stuff.
Yeah, and the EDM movement, I think it's catching on and it's growing. I mean, country as a whole is growing like crazy. I think I've gotten in arguments recently about how I think it's as big as it's ever been right now. So I think it's legit and I personally love it. Obviously, I've been kind of adopting that style a little bit.
Well, maybe you can rub off on me because that's probably when I say open format, that's probably my weakest attribute in the open format world is the country. Like I've gotten more into playing rock, but I always thought people just wanted to hear like the 2000 spangers, like throwback hip hop, you know, some newer stuff, that EDM for sure. But I've always lacked on sprinkling the country in, but man, you can even play that at Jim Mill and just like erupt a place with one country song.
It's also a little bit like location based or, what cities you're in.
True.
I think down here in the South, obviously it's a lot more popular compared to, you know, DC area.
Yeah. It hits different here, even than Atlanta, 4-hour drive away. You play country in Atlanta, you watch your neck. It doesn't always go over.
Transitioning over to Trio. So what were your EDM guys? Like you were a big Avicii fan, like back in the day, how did you get into EDM? And then your style, like, how would you describe it? Is it like traditional house? Like what's your EDM like vibe?
Yeah. I mean, I never would call myself a house head. I like more of the mainstream commercial stuff, like, you know, Avicii, Calvin Harris, Martin Garrix, stuff like that. And as far as my style, it's definitely more commercial. I'm not playing like underground house music that no one's heard. Everything I play is usually a remix with some popular vocal over it. And I think Trio kind of has two avenues. They have house artists that they bring in, but they also bring in open format DJs with like a EDM bias. And so they usually book me with those open format guys because they attract a more traditional bar going crowd. That way I can, you know, they want to hear vocals they can sing along to, stuff like that. But
all
it's
right.
a lot of digging, trying to find cool remixes and different ways to play the same songs that you hear at other bars, but on a much different sound system and production. So the music that works at Trio really doesn't work at Gin Mill because you don't have all the other effects that you need for that music to hit the same way.
Good point. Really good point.
So I have one follow-up question, and I'll stop asking for a minute. So you mentioned you hopped in on your own wedding. Do you DJ weddings at all? And if you have, or if you've done a few, like, is there overlap between, you know, because Kyle and I are traditionally wedding DJs, but do you like doing that? Do you not like it? Is there any overlap to what you do, you know, in the South End scene?
Yeah. I've done probably 10, 12 weddings, mostly family, friends. I don't particularly enjoy all the other aspects of weddings that don't involve the music.
The stress, like, the planning, the ceremony,
the MC, all that other stuff. Yeah. Like,
it's tough, brother. It's real tough. It's a long day.
There's so much more that goes into it than people realize.
They have no idea. And so when I go out there and I see DJs pricing themselves at like $1,000, I'm like, what are you doing right now? Like, you clearly haven't done this before.
I apologize because I was that guy, but usually it was friends.
Sorry.
We've all been that guy.
Yeah, but, true story. Like,
I do it at $1,000 and I sit there and think, damn, I'm getting absolutely ripped off.
Raked through the coals, man. If you're not charging at least 2 G's a wedding, you're not doing it right anymore. But
yeah.
All right. So we're wrapping up here. Last two really easy questions for you. One, what are you using when you produce? What's your software?
I'm on FL Studio.
Okay. I've seen a lot more people on that lately. So I'm a Logic guy, just doing through. That's what I learned I dabbled on Fruity Loops, and it's cool. It's got a lot to offer. Great to use.
Yeah.
I'm just glad you didn't say Ableton. Ableton's just so clunky. And
yeah, I get pressured a lot by people telling me I need to switch.
No, don't switch. Fruity Loops is better. All right, and last question. So the producers, the list, we've rambled off several names earlier. Who's your guy? Who's your number one dude in your book as far as producers?
I mean, I'll always be an Avicii stan.
I love that.
He's the GOAT.
He is,
my
man.
Opinion. That's one of my regrets, is never getting to see him live.
Yeah.
I think
the cool thing with him is, like, obviously people know his music, but they don't even necessarily understand the impact he had, like, some of the, I think, Coldplay songs he produced, and like his hand is in so much music that's people don't even know. And that's the coolest thing about it, is that, you know, his mark and legacy goes further than just his music on, you know, the platforms.
Well, yeah, thank you, man, so much for being here, Triscuits. We loved having you, dude. Make sure to come out and see you real soon. So, Will, you want to hit us?
Keep it real, keep it safe.
Keep it real safe.